Good afternoon. Thank you so much for being here to learn about Bitachon. Today, we're in Kislev, 5783, December 13th. And thank you to Mr. Jake Wyman, Mr. Mitch Green, and the Plotzkers, Rav Shmuel and Dr. Ilana Plotzker. We're continuing to learn about schar and reward in this world and in the next world. And I was thinking about the fact that there's a restaurant in town, an Indian restaurant. It's actually a kosher restaurant. The Cincinnatians know about it. It's called Amma's Kitchen. Not quite as good as Mama's Kitchen, but it is delicious. And there's something about this restaurant that sets it apart. It's the buffet. If you go at lunchtime, you can pay a flat fee when you're finished, and you get limitless food, which could be a bracha, as long as we do it with the proper judgment. And I was saying to myself, you can go and you can fill a plate with food. And if you're still hungry, you can go back. And the restaurant workers, the owners, they keep filling up those different dishes, those delectable, wonderful delicacies. And I said to myself, that is a mashal for the Chastei Hashem, for the limitless, infinite kindnesses of Hashem, which we were discussing over the last few weeks. There's a beautiful pshat that Mayam Lois brings in Eicha, and we're going to use that as an introduction to our continuation of the Orchus Tzadikim's study of Bitachon. If you look in Eicha, in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Beis, it says, Chastei Hashem, the kindnesses of Hashem, Kilo Samnu, that they have not ended, they're never terminated. That's one pshat. It's like the word lo samu. They never are over. They're never used up. They never run dry. Kilo cholu rachamav, because his mercies have never stopped. Again, they've never ceased. By the way, there's another pshat. Chastei Hashem kilo samnu. Instead of saying that it's like lo samu, that Hashem's kindnesses have never ceased, have never dried up, it's kilo samnu. It's the nun in there, that we have not been ever consumed or destroyed. However you explain it, though, especially according to the first shot, Chastei Hashem, Kilo Samnu, they never, ever end. And there's a similar idea in another pasuk right here in Eicha, and the Mayam Lois brings it on page Kuklav Vav. Afal Pisha Zechus Abos Tama. We mentioned this 2 weeks ago. The Gemara says that Tama Zuchus Avos, whatever that means, it seems to be that the bank account that we can draw from to try to evoke Hashem's mercy, it seems like it's been overdrawn. We've used up all those merits. Tama Zuchus Avos. For whatever that means, maybe it's just for certain people, maybe it's in certain circumstances. We certainly have the Bris Avos, which is an agreement and a covenant, a pact that Hashem has made with us, but using the actual funds in the bank account, in some manner, it has been used up. But even though that's true, Hashem taught this to Moshe. Remember Parshas Ki Sisa with the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, the 13 attributes of mercy? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Merachem. Still Hashem has mercy. V'zehu, and this is the meaning of the Pasuk. Now we have a Pasuk here in Eicha. That's the preceding Pasuk in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. It says in that Pasuk, Zos Oshiv Elibi. This, whatever this is, we'll explain. I will recall to my mind Al Kain Ochil. Therefore, I have hope. I will have hope. What is this? Zos Oshiv Elibi. There are multiple explanations, but listen to this beautiful pshat. Zos Oshiv Elibi. This I will recall. I'll reply and think about it, L-E-B, to my heart. So the Mayam Lois brings an explanation that Zos is an acronym. It's a Rashi Tevos for Zechus Avos Tama, that the merit of the forefathers has been used up, even if it's true that we cannot draw funds from that bank account anymore. Zechus Avos Tama, that's Zos. Zion Aleph Tav, Zechus Avos Tama, that even though the Zechus of the Avos, that merit of the forefathers and the mothers, you can't actually make a withdrawal from it anymore and spend it in order to have Hashem's mercy. Ashiv L.E.B., I will think about that. I'll reflect on that reality. I'll recall to my heart. So what am I supposed to do now? Ma'aseh, the Ma'am Lois explains. Batashuva, the answer is, Alkein Ohio. Therefore, there's only one thing I can do. I have to go to the buffet. And I have to go to the endless supply of mercy, the one that they keep filling up again. You can keep taking more and more from it. Ohio, Sheyarachamenu Mitzan Rachamav, that Hashem will have mercy on us because of his endless, his limitless, his infinite compassion. Because that is never used up. Even if it's Zot, Zechus Avos Tama, even if it has happened that the merit of the fathers has been used up in some way, Alkein Ochil, therefore, because of that, and despite that, I will hope to Hashem, I will look to Hashem, I will go back up to the buffet and fill my plate again from Hashem's compassions. And there's always going to be more and more and more. Zeo Sha'omer, and that's what it means in this pasuk. There's two pasukim right after each other in Eicha. In Perek Gimel, pasuk Chaf Aleph, and Perek Gimel, pasuk Chaf Beis, Chasdei Hashem, Kilo Samnu. The kindnesses of Hashem never, ever will be terminated. They've never ended. Kilo cholu rachamav, because his compassion has never ever run dry and never will. And that's the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim that Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu. He recited those Yud Gimel Midos, those 13 attributes in Parshas Kisisa. He taught them to Moshe Benikras Hatzur when Moshe was in the cleft of the rock. And he said, forever remember that you can always go to the Ribbono Shel Olam and ask for compassion. It never, ever ends. It's never used up. And with that wonderful thought in mind, we can continue in the Oracle of Tzadikim. And this is the theme that he's telling us, that Hashem is always benevolent to us. He always loves us. He's always hugging us, embracing us, and caring. Sometimes it's not conspicuous. It's not apparent. But we have to know that the mercy of Hashem is always there. He continues. If it wouldn't be that way, then it would be different. Then we wouldn't be so joyous and ecstatic to serve Hashem. But we know that it is that way. So he examines the other side, the side that's not true, in the mushal aspect of the Eved. Remember the servant or the employee? Abba ha'Eved, the Aruch HaTzadikim continues, but a servant or a worker, Haroe sha'adonav mekapeach schar avadav, if he sees that his master, that his employer, holds back the reward, the proper payment, the compensation for of his servants, of his workers, the Yeza Belibo, and he will know in his heart, in his mind, Sha'adonov Kilai, that his master, that his boss, is miserly, is stingy, the Torah Yoser Gadol Mischaro, and his toil is much more greater than his reward. He's working, he's overworked. Such a worker, such a servant does not work, doesn't labor for his master except in a sad state. Meaning if there would be a worker like that, if there is an employee who feels that his working conditions are not fair, his compensation is not sufficient, he's not recognized, he's not acknowledged as a dedicated worker, such an employee is not going to be in a positive frame of mind and is not going to be optimistic and upbeat and overjoyed at all about what he does. That's the end of the negative side of the mashal. Kein hu ha'inyan hazeh. The Aruch HaTzadikim says, that's the same with this matter. We are avdei Hashem. Hamamin emuna shlema b'yotro. The one who believes with perfect faith, understanding in his creator and the one who formed him. That he is benevolent, he does good, he bestows goodness and kindness. He's compassionate, more than any compassionate one. What we do sometimes, what do I do sometimes? I'll tend to think, oh, this relative of mine is going to for sure have compassion on me. He'll be there for me. She'll be available for me. This boss, this doctor, this professional will for sure be there to meet all my needs. Hopefully, these agents, they will be shluchei Hashem. They will be able to fulfill our needs and help us. But human beings fall short. And even if they're a merachim, even if they are kind and compassionate and merciful, but human beings are limited. They're human beings. That's why the Aruch HaTzaddikim tells us that Hashem is Merachim Yoser Mikol Merachim. Hashem has the wherewithal. He has the ability. He has the tools to be the ultimate compassionate one. There's no human being. There's no commodity. There's no resource that can claim that it is absolutely compassionate no matter what, that it will always meet our needs and be there for us. No person, no corporation, no funding, no nothing in this world can claim that it will always be there. Even doctors, they themselves know. They say, I'm not a specialist in this area, and even in their area of specialty, they say, I don't know. And the ones who have enough sense, they'll say, this is up to God. But the Ribbono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Merachem Yoser Mikol Merachem. He has more compassion, more than anyone who has compassion. The Shehu Dayan Emes, the Aruch HaTzaddikim says. And he is a true judge. He is fair. He's Dayan Emes. There's no falsehood. There's no discrepancy from the truth. No deviation from the absolute fairness and justice in Hashem's court. V'chol masha osalo akohu l'tovaso. Everything that Hashem does for a person, it's all for the person's good. It's all for the better. V'liten lo sachar gadol. It's to give the person great reward, great compensation. Akol masha sovel. For all that the person endures and bears and tolerates and is patient about. V'shmo ha-gadol. For the sake of Hashem's great name. When I was looking this over, I was thinking to myself, if I'm going to be patient and I'm going to be enduring and tolerant of what Hashem sends my way, in fact, I could do better than that. It's not that I'm going to persevere and make it through and go on despite what Hashem sends my way. I will persevere and I will be victorious and I'll be successful because of that. I'll grow because of it, not despite that. And I can do it. If I'm going to do it anyway, if I'm going to be patient and weather the storms of life, well, I may as well throw in something wonderful. That's the kavana. Do it l'shma ha-gadol. For everything that I'm patient about, everything that I say, okay, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be enduring. I'm going to tolerate whatever you send my way. And I'm going to do it for what? L'shma ha-gadol. For the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yalkol ha'avodah v'asherus, and for all the service, all the work, all the dedication, sheyasa l'shem shamayim, that a person will do for the sake of heaven, yasig lo ni'imos gedola, the person will attain for himself great pleasantness, ni'imos gedola, ba'olam hanoim, in the world that's pleasant, which is olam haba, but always we have to remember, derachea d'archei noam, that this world and the Torah that goes with it is pleasant. It also can be pleasant. And Ochel Perasei and Balam Hazeh, we're able to reap the fruits, to get the produce of our actions in this world. It's not just Olam Havah, like, okay, I'm going to have to wait it out here till after 120. No, we can have, it says in the Gemara, Olam Chatira Bechayecha, the Chachamim would say to each other, you should get a taste of your world. Even when you're alive, you should have a flavor of Olam Havah, the intangible ecstasy of emotional satisfaction, of accomplishment, of ruchnias, of good relationships, of whatever we're successful in, and even what we're not, but we use it as a springboard. Ni'imos gedola ba'olam hanoyim. It's great pleasantness in the world, which is pleasant, but it could be partially in this world also, without expecting perfection at all. Ka'inyan shemotina b'Nebuchadnezzar. That's the matter that we found with, who is Nebuchadnezzar? How does he come up here? What do you think about when you think about Nebuchadnezzar? Word association. Okay. You think about Korban Bayis Rishon. You think Bavel, right. And the Aruch HaTzaddikim says, Nebuchadnezzar of all people, he did something that was very, very small, insignificant, and he was rewarded greatly, as we're about to see the story in the Gemara. Avor Shepasa Arba Psios, because of the fact that he took 4 steps. By the way, according to one version in Chazal, it was 3 steps. The Chavod HaKel Yisporach, for the honor of Hashem, blessed God Hashem, because of 4 steps, Zachar V'Gedula Gedola, he merited amazing, incredible greatness and success, It's the Gemara Sanhedrin, the Apsadi Vavim and Aleph. Now, what we're going to do right at this moment is to find out what is that story? What happened with Nebuchadnezzar? When we see the story of Nebuchadnezzar's quote-unquote greatness and success and reward, we will be so inspired to always push forward and to engage in Avodas Hashem to the best of our abilities, because it's going to be a Kal V'Chomer, all the more so. Nebuchadnezzar takes several steps and he gets indescribable reward for it. What about us? Some people have these meters, pedometers, whatever they're called. They record, 10,000 steps a day, whatever it is. Thousands of steps that we're taking every day to go to daven, to go to learn, to do chesed. Imagine the schar we have. It should give us a huge warm feeling inside. There's no place for anxiety and sadness. But what's the story of Nebuchadnezzar? The Gemara tells us, the Gemara Sanhedrin, Perek Chelek. What happened was, one of the Babylonian kings had Nebuchadnezzar as his royal scribe. And the Babylonian king's name was Merodach Baladan, and he was the son of Baladan. He was the king of Babel. He heard that the Melech Chizkiyo HaMelech, Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda, the great tzaddik Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda, had been ill, and he was healed. So this Babylonian king, Merodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, who was the king of Babel, he sent letters and he sent him a present. Now, what happened was that, I'll read you the Lashon of the Gemara, he sent a letter, but his scribe, Nebuchadnezzar, wasn't present when the letter was sent. So here we have a Melech Babel, and we have Nebuchadnezzar is his royal scribe, like a secretary, but he wasn't present when the letter was sent to Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda. Let me read you the Gemara. Amar, said this Babylonian king, which remember, the Babylonian king is not Nebuchadnezzar. He was a king before Nebuchadnezzar became the king later on. So this Babylonian king, Amar, said, Ika Gavra Kihai, there's a man like this, like Chizkiyo, the king of Yehuda, who was ill, and then he was healed, and miracles happened in conjunction with his recovery. There is such
How's
a person. He's such a person. Velo ba'ina, they should do re le shalma, and I'm not going to make it sure that I send him a greeting. Of course I have to send him a greeting. Kosfule. So they wrote a letter to Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. Shalma lamalka Chizkiya. I'm reading you a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Sadi Vav Amud Aleph. Peace, greetings to the King Chizkiya. Shalom lekarta d'Yerushalayim. Greetings of peace to the city Jerusalem. Shalom lelaka'a rabba. And peace, greetings to the great God. That's the text of the letter they sent. Does anything stand wrong with this letter?
Shalom something rabba.
So at the end, the last thing he said was Shalom Lelakar Rabba, greetings to the great God, which is Chizkiyahu Melech Hashem. So Nebuchadnezzar, Safre de Baladan Haba. The Gemara says Nebuchadnezzar was the royal scribe of Baladan. Hahi Shaita Lo Haba Hasam. At that moment, he wasn't there. He was absent wherever he was. He wasn't in the office when they sent that letter to Chizkiyahu. He also, when he came, the Gemara says, Omar Lahu, he said to the people in the office of the king of Baladan, he said, Heichi Kasvisu, how did you write? What was the text of the letter you sent? I'm wondering. You know, the letter you sent to Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. Amru Lei, so they said to Nebuchadnezzar, who had just popped into the office, Hachi Kasvinon, this is what we wrote. And they repeated to him the text of the letter. Amar, Nebuchadnezzar, who was yet to become king later on, of Babel, Amar Lehui said to them, it seems like you got it a little bit out of order. Karisu le Eloka Rabba, you called Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda's God, you called him the great God, the Kasvisu le Livesov, and you wrote him in the end? You put him at the end of the letter. Look what the text was. They said, peace to the king Chizkiyo, they put Chizkiyo first, and peace, greetings to the city, the Karta of Yerushalayim, the city of Yerushalayim, and then peace to the great God. He says, what are you guys doing? You got it all
the wrong order. You switched it around. You put God first. You don't put him at the end. Amar, he said, Elohachi kasuvu. This is how you should write the letter. Shalom le'alaka rabba. Greetings to the great God. God goes first. Hashem goes first. Shalom lekarta d'Yerushalayim. Okay, second, you put the city of Jerusalem. Peace to the city of Jerusalem. Shalom lemalka Chizkiah. And then at the end, you put the human king, Chizkiah. Good point, huh? Nebuchadnezzar, he got it right. So he's criticizing how they sent the letter. But the letter was out the door already. It got mailed. Amri le, so they said to him, to Nebuchadnezzar, the scribe, Karina de Igrasa, Ihu lehave parvanka. Famous statement in the Gemara that we find. The one who reads the letter, he should be the one who carries it out. Now, what does that mean? Happens to be dealing with a letter here, but it's nothing to do with that exact letter. It's an expression. The one who suggests that an action should be done, he should be the one who does it. You're the one who's criticizing how he wrote the letter. So then you should go and try to, I don't know, catch up with the guy who's bringing the letter, with the messenger. Stop him, intercept him, and tell him that you need to change the text of the letter. Now, this expression is used in other places. It's used with Pinchas, different Gemara Sanhedrin. Whoever suggests something that was with Pinchas ben Elazar, we won't get into that sugi now, but it's not just in this Gemara. It's that, in general, they used to say it in yeshiva, by the way, and it's a good thing in life. Someone would suggest something. They'd say, hey, you know, it would be really great if we could do things this way, if we could fix this up in the base medicine. So the guys would say to him, Kwaine de Igwasa, Yula Havi Pervanka. You know, you're the one who read the letter. Why don't you carry out the edict if you're suggesting it be put into legislation? Well, anyway, what happens? So Nebuchadnezzar says, okay, I guess I have no choice. They wrote the letter wrong. I'm going to take matters into my own hands. And I'm going to try to catch up with the guy who's bringing the letter to Chizkiah. Rahat Basre. He ran after him. Rashi explains, Rahat Basre de Shliach. He chased after the messenger who's carrying the letter. And he wants to stop him so that he can say, listen, we got to reformulate the letter. We got to change the text to put Hashem first. Kedorayit, when he had run Arba Psios, four steps. And on the side in the Gemara, in the Mesoras Hashas, he says, in the Medrash and in the Yalkut, it says shalosh, three steps. That means it's a machlokis in Chazal, same thing in Rashi Yirmiyah, he says, Yirmiyah Perek Yud Beis. There's a machlokis whether Nebuchadnezzar ran four steps or three steps to stop the messenger from bringing the letter to Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, and he had in mind the Kavod Hashem. This is what Nebuchadnezzar had in mind. We have to change the text of the letter to write Hashem's name first in the letter. So he ran to try to do that, but he never made it. Why did he never make it? Asa Gabriel. Suddenly Gabriel HaMalach came. Hashem sent a Malach, the Ukme, and he stood him up. He stopped him. He intercepted him, who was trying to intercept the shliach. That means that Nebuchadnezzar is trying to get the letter changed, to draft a new letter, but Nebuchadnezzar, the scribe of the Babylonian king, he never made it to intercept the messenger because Hashem sent Gabriel to intercept him, to stop him. Now, why did Hashem do that? Because if he would have done that, the Gemara says, he would have had such a huge zechus, such the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ilema ba Gavriel, Ilmole ba Gavriel, if Gavriel hadn't come, the Hamido, and stopped Nebuchadnezzar from stopping the messenger, and changing the letter, Lo hoya takana l'soneim shel Yisrael, the enemies of Israel, which means B'nai Yisrael themselves, it's a euphemism, we don't want to say it about B'nai Yisrael themselves, but we're referring to them, if Gabriel had not stopped Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar would have successfully caught up with the messenger, told him to change the letter, put Hashem's name first, given honor to Hashem, and then accrued such a zechus, earned such credit that he would have been empowered to totally destroy B'nai Yisrael. Chas v'sham lo aleinu. Rashi explains, Lo hoya lahem takana. There would be no way to fix it up for B'nai Yisrael. Troya Sechara Meruba. His reward would be so indescribably amazingly huge, enormous.
He would have had the permission to destroy our remnant, Chas V'Shalom.
What just happened in this Gemara? What is the Or HaSadikim? The Or HaSadikim just quotes it in one or two lines. He's saying, Nebuchadnezzar, he became the emperor of Babel. He destroyed the Bayis Rishon. How did he get such power?
Because he tried to give honor to Hashem. He ran after the Shliach to try to make a new letter to Chizkio, and Hashem's name would be first. And because of the three or four steps that he took, he was zoche to be so powerful and unfortunately very destructive because of his power against Bnei Israel. And the Gemara says if he would have succeeded in actually having that letter's text changed and he would have put Hashem at first and given him so much kavod, then he would have had immeasurable, indescribable, unbelievable, unimaginable power, enough that we would really be under his rulership, and he could really destroy us, Chas V'Shalom. What does this show? It says the Or HaSadikim. For every step we take, we get so much reward, we can't even believe it. And how can anybody be worried? This is in the Shara Simcha. How can anybody not be besimcha? I take one step to open up a Gemara. I take 100 steps to walk to Beis Medrash from my vehicle, whatever it is. I'm getting rewarded for every single step that I take. From Nebuchadnezzar.
And to finish up the paragraph, the Or HaSadikim says, I'll give you a hint. Who is the person in Chumash who did a mitzvah? He did it really in a superficial way. He did it really for the wrong reasons, for ulterior motives, to earn a reputation that he didn't really deserve. And he got hugely rewarded for it. Who is that person? That's right, this past week's Parsha. The end of the Parsha of Vayishlach. It's full of the greatness of Esav's descendants, the princes, the dukes, the kings that came out of Esav, the power that Esav had. The Chaimun Shematina be'Esav, says the Or HaSadikim, like the matter we find with Esav. Avor Shenizor b'chvod Aviv, because he was careful in the honor of his father, and really he didn't have pure motives, but the way he did it, Zacha l'gedula. He merited greatness, but olam hazeh, in this world, who was our acharav, he and his descendants after him. Yes, it was on the surface. It was superficial. So he got his superficial surface reward, literally on the surface of this earth. But that's what meant something to him. So everything's mina k'neged mina, but he got his reward. So imagine what we do. We do it in a profound way. We do it for the purest motives. We do it with its details. We do it properly. Imagine the reward we get. The Or HaSadikim says, that's supposed to give us a warm feeling. The Chain Rabim, there's many like that. Ein Safek, says the Or HaSadikim. If we just reflect on this for a few moments, when a person believes in this, understands this with a full heart, the reward Nebuchadnezzar got, the reward Esav got, Vaday, for sure, Yismach, he'll rejoice. Bechol dinei Hashem yisparach, in whatever Hashem tosses his way, in all the judgments of Hashem. Ki mi lo yismach, because who's not going to rejoice in such a situation? Who cannot be overjoyed? Who cannot be ecstatic? Ki shenot limimenu, when they take from him, prutos nechoshes, little coins of copper. That's like the avoda we do. It's not that much. We're little compared to Hashem. Benos nimo timarasan, and a gift to him in exchange for them as reward. Kikar zav, a whole talent of gold, tons of gold, tons of reward. So our conclusion is, mi lo yismach, who will not rejoice? It's rhetorical. Every person needs to rejoice. It makes perfect sense. It's objectively sensible. It's logical that we should be extremely overjoyed to serve Hashem. He's so fair. He's so generous. He's so benevolent. And he notices every single thing, every thought, every statement, and every action that we do. With all of this in mind, the Or HaSadikim says, we are equipped to serve Hashem with absolute joy, and nothing really can stand in our way. Mirat Hashem, we're going to continue next week to talk about Emuna and Bitachon, and what happens to the person who has Emuna and Bitachon. Mercy Hashem, I look very much forward to it. Thank you so much for joining us. Everyone should have a Tzlocha Rabba and a beautiful week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Yitzchak.